This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's renewable energy landscape. The participants are Mukul Sanwal, energy expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
It's a pleasure to have in the studios Mr. Mukul Sanwal, senior environmentalist, and we would be discussing the topic India's renewable energy landscape. In fact, there's been substantial growth in India's renewable energy sector from October 23 to October 2024. This progress underscores India's commitment to achieving its clean energy targets in line with the Panch Amrit goals set by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Mukulji, what are the Panch Amrit goals that the Prime Minister has set?
See, I would like to talk about the significance of these goals, both in terms of the civilizational history of India and the path that we are taking to be a developed country by 2047. This is part of that process. You will note that initially civilization developed with the use of wood, burning wood for light and heat. Then we moved towards coal and then oil and gas. But other civilizations that developed before us or needed energy before we needed it in the manner that we are using it now, did not think of solar energy because they were not blessed with the kind of number of sunshine days or sunshine hours that we have because of our geographical location. Now, Prime Minister Modi is the first leader to have noted this fact that why should we import 80% of our oil and gas from other countries, which makes us dependent on them, which makes an outflow of foreign exchange, when we have this huge potential. And he switched the development thinking in this country that we can develop in a manner that others have not developed because we have this huge resource. So he described it in these terms of these five elements because he wished not only to look at the development of the country, but also the development of each individual, because renewable energy by definition, in the manner in which it is generated, is decentralized. So it spreads development in different areas. It is located in different areas. Well, for example, we have Rajasthan, which has a huge potential. And the land area of Rajasthan is not useful for cultivation because it lacks rainfall and it lacks river systems. Now, that huge land area can be put to good use and is being put to good use. Similarly, Gujarat was not blessed with a major river or with a large amount of rainfall. They are also leaders. So when we look at this renewable energy in this perspective, we realize that it is a very significant factor in our development, which will be unique because it also spreads development throughout the country.
So you mentioned that in Gujarat, there is no major river and water is an issue. So we have with us Aparna Khun, who is joining us from Ahmedabad. Aparna, you just heard Mukulji talk about how the scarcity of water has so successfully been taken care of through renewable energy. In fact, energy generation is at the highest level in the state of Gujarat. So what are the projects that have been undertaken and what are the success of each of these projects?
As rightly mentioned, the whole world is now moving towards renewable energy sources to mitigate the climate commitments. Of course, India is at the forefront, and Gujarat particularly has used this scarcity of water and a disadvantage into a very successful model that has come up, especially in RE. The state has achieved the impressive 29 gigawatt renewable energy capacity, which is almost second highest among all the states in India. So it is not just solar energy, but also in wind energy and green hydrogen, Gujarat is leading. So as you mentioned, why this could be possible in Gujarat and not in other states, the first thing which I would like to mention is the policy. And policy at right time. In 2009, when there was no much popularity of RE in India, it was Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who was then Chief Minister of Gujarat. He had come up with this solar power policy. And in 2019, the state had come up with the Surya Urja rooftop scheme. I think this is the biggest success of this RE renewable energy production in Gujarat, particularly. And the third thing is Gujarat has now gone beyond solar energy. And as rightly said by Mukulji, Kutch, which was the arid region, that region has been utilized for the production of renewable energy with respect to green hydrogen and solar energy. So 2023, the state had come up with renewable energy policy, and the state has now aimed to produce 100 gigawatt of renewable energy by 2030. I think this is a really big ambitious target and certainly going to achieve. And the second thing, I would like to focus on this scheme particularly, because that solar rooftop scheme had taken the renewable energy production to the households of Gujarat. This scheme has been very, very popular, not just in residential areas, but also in the commercial complexes. Why this scheme was very much popular? Because the central government is also providing attractive subsidies and net metering policy. So this has been very cost effective. Solar energy, which used to be a very much costly affair, has now become very much affordable thing because of this scheme. And the under this scheme, the amount of electricity generated through solar panels is offset by the amount of energy consumed by the household. And the remaining electricity is sold to the DISCOMs. So again, this doesn't cut the power bills, but also empowers the citizens. But they can be energy producers by themselves. And similarly, in agricultural fields also, this scheme is very, very popular. In Gujarat, the Gujarat Energy Development Agency has been instrumental in implementing the Gujarat government's renewable energy policy. The state has also come up with several innovative steps to boost renewable energy production, and they are encouraging private sector's participation in renewable energy production. Gujarat is also set to become India's green hydrogen hub. As we all know that 1 million metric tons of green hydrogen production is expected from the wasteland of Kutch and Banaskantha. A huge project is being set up. And similarly, the solar power plant, which is being set up at Khavda in Kutch, again, the arid region of Kutch, which is very near to the run of Kutch, is also expected. So these are the two points which I would like to highlight.
There are three things that you have mentioned. One, the significance of policy. Two, the public-private partnerships. And three, how successful has been the solar rooftop schemes in Gujarat? Thank you, Aparna, for being with us. Mukulji, your comment.
You see, as Aparnaji pointed out, I think it is not just the policy, but also the vision of the person involved. Who could foresee that why is Gujarat dependent on electricity generated from other parts of India? Gujarat has no coal, and coal comes to Gujarat from across the country, which has traffic bottlenecks in the railways or otherwise distribution problems. So why should not Gujarat get into solar energy in a big way? Then Prime Minister Modi, at that time the Chief Minister, started thinking about how this would be possible. Now, that is the second part of the scheme, which has now been formalized at the national level, that we must look at it not in terms of a single generating point, which was the old thinking, that you will have to locate a power plant somewhere, which will then distribute electricity. This can be done in a decentralized model. Parnaji pointed out that the rooftop scheme has become very popular, and Gujarat is showing the way to other states in the country that you can use rooftops, particularly, as she said, of the commercial buildings where the area is pretty big, to generate electricity using sunshine. And when you don't need that electricity, you can sell it to the grid. So instead of a system where we received energy from somewhere else, now there is a two-way traffic. Again, this is not something that comes very easily to us, but the significance is that it amounts to a transformation in our thinking.
Mukulji, there has been India's total renewable energy installed capacity increased by a staggering 24.2 gigawatts, which is 13.5% in a year, reaching 203.18 gigawatts in October 2024 from 178.98 gigawatt in October 2023. How much would you attribute this to the public-private partnerships?
Now, there are two aspects to this. The first aspect is that as Chief Minister of Gujarat, Prime Minister Modi had the vision and gave an example to the rest of the country. The example was also to the private sector. Now, he used that experience when he came to the national level as Prime Minister to give direction to policies which would not only push renewable energy, but as he realized from the Gujarat model, that it need to involve not just the public sector companies, but it will need to involve the people and the private sector. Now, you cannot do development in the scale at which we need development to take place by setting up generating plants financed, managed by the public sector. It has to be widespread. Now, this is taking place in a very big way, particularly in terms of what we see in Gujarat and Rajasthan, where these particularly solar plants, we can call them, huge tracts of land with solar panels generating electricity. That is not possible for the government to do or for local panchayats to do. Local panchayats have a different role. Local farmers, rooftop citizens have a different role, but there is also a defined role for the private sector to set up these huge, to cover the huge areas, large extent of areas with a large number of power plants, what is called farms or production units. And this model is working very well in India.
Joining us now is Joy from Chennai, and she will give us updates on the projects being taken in Tamil Nadu.
Rajesh, I would like to tell you that the state ranks third in renewable energy capacity. It contributes 23.70 gigawatt to the country's energy production. Presently, the state government has approved three major power policies. The policy on pumped storage project incentivizes the developers to identify and propose potential sites. It is also to encourage development off-river and on-river sites. Then there is the small hydel projects and wind repowering and life extension policy. It aims to boost the green energy sector with the target of setting up renewable energy power plants with a combined capacity of 20,000 megawatt by 2030. The government intends to encourage public and private sectors to establish pumped storage projects. Small hydel projects policy will support the development of power plants with capacities ranging from 100 kilowatts to 10 megawatts. The policy aims to encourage private companies to produce electricity for their own use while minimizing environmental impact. The classification as net consumer of electricity of the government would help consume energy to pump water during off-peak periods and also to generate electricity during peak demand. And this also aims to reduce carbon emissions and create a renewable and clean source of electricity, Rajesh. The wind repowering, refurbishment and life extension policy is expected to boost the wind power generation by 25%. The state government has also several energy schemes like environment protection and renewable energy development, Chief Minister's Solar Rooftop Capital Incentive Scheme, State Partnership for Energy Efficiency Demonstrations, Model Energy Efficient Village Campaign, which is implemented in 133 villages in the state, National Mission for Enhanced Energy Efficiency, which is implemented in government hospitals in the state, Scheme for Promotion of Energy Audit, Conservation of Energy, and Chief Minister's Scheme of Solar Pumps have all contributed to Tamil Nadu's renewable energy capacity.
Thank you, Joy, for being with us.
Thank you.
Mukulji, what are the primary challenges India faces in expanding its renewable energy capacity, and how is the government addressing them?
You see, the primary challenge is large-scale renewable energy is being produced in areas which did not have generating capacity earlier. For example, there are no major power plants in Gujarat and Rajasthan because they were not blessed with coal. And very far distant from the coal mines, with distribution problem was acute. So the big issue here now is that this large amount of electricity that is being generated has to be transmitted into the grid and taken to other parts of the country. So you really need new transmission lines. At the same time, unlike in a factory or like in a generating plant generating electricity, the generation of power, solar or wind, is not a steady generation. It fluctuates with the amount of solar energy that is falling on the panel or the wind speed. So you need certain electronics or you need certain stabilizing arrangements to do this. You cannot do that for single plants or for renewable energy being generated at a small scale. It is when renewable energy is being generated at a larger scale that these new arrangements of transmission, balancing, electronics become viable. And we have reached that stage.
You mentioned about the new normal. So how has the growth of solar and wind energy shaped India's energy mix? And what are the renewable sources hold potential in the near future?
The idea so far had been that there is a trade-off between economic growth and economic development and environmental considerations. Now, relying on renewable energy, as for more than half or even three quarters of our energy requirement, means that we are taking care of the import dependence, we are taking care of climate change, global environment commitments, and we are taking care of distributed energy sources and utilization in a manner that leads to widespread development and sustainable development.
Mukulji, thank you so very much for being with Akashvani.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's renewable energy landscape. The participants were Mukul Sanwal, energy expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.